Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Let's talk about crisps, baby. Let's talk about wheat crunchies. Let's talk about all the discos and the skips, yo, fries, scampi. Let's talk about crisps and maze base snacks. Let's talk about crisps.
Sam Pamphilon.
Tom McCall, how are you?
I'm all right, mate.
Yeah? Look a bit stressed.
I'm okay.
Yeah?
I'm all right, mate.
You sure?
Yeah.
Your voice is going high.
No, it's
not. Sure you're not stressed?
No, I'm not stressed.
It's not getting to you?
No, nothing is. The island's fine.
Yeah.
Enjoying my crisps.
Yeah.
And my fizzy water.
That was a mistake, wasn't it? Keep coming back to that.
I'm hitting the DCs hard, these D's, my friend. These D's? The DCs hard, these D's.
Are you still drinking too much Diet Coke in the real world?
Too much fucking Tisky at the moment.
Oh, that's really? Yeah, I am.
But yeah, in the real world, it's the DC and mangoes.
No!
Mm.
I don't like the sound of it.
Do you know what? My good wife has been growing a penchant.
Your good wife, as opposed to your... How many do you have?
I got my good one, my money one, my poor one.
It's like that Ice-T song, which I won't quote.
What are we talking about?
Crisps, probably, mate.
Crisps, probably.
Yeah.
No, I had something to...
Did you? You're talking about Diet Coke and mango.
Yeah. Oh, yes, my good wife.
Good
Until
wife.
Until he went down some ice cube. It wasn't ice cube, was it?
It's iced tea.
Iced tea.
Then Jay-Z did it.
Same guy, though, right?
It's not the same guy.
Yeah, she's hitting that Coke cinnamon shebango.
What?
Oh, no.
I know. I've told her.
Well, I quite like the old Pepsi Max Cherry, or Pepsi Maximum, as me and Steve like to call
well,
it. And I accidentally, being colourblind, bought a Pepsi Max Ginger. Oof.
What? Never heard of such a thing.
No. It's not good.
No?
But the thing is, my taste buds are so shit. Like, halfway through, I'm like, this Pepsi Max Cherry is not tasting as good as it used to. It's a whole different flavour.
It's got a little metallic kind of tang on the back of the tongue.
This Pepsi is corked. I'm sending it back.
It's capped.
Sammy P.
Yeah.
Shall I introduce this week's castaway?
I don't see what else we do with the first 25 minutes of the podcast.
No, well, consciously,
yeah. I've
been tight on my edit this week.
Have you?
Yeah.
And looking at your phone, I can see at least 300 words.
Just the first bit, if I start scrolling like that, there you go. This week's castaway is an actor of both the Laffies and the Cryies.
Oh.
That's a range actor.
Yeah.
If you ask
Funny,
me.
Funny, but sad.
Funny, but sad. It's like the, you know, the, what was that war we had with the Argentinians?
Falklands,
yeah.
I can't wait to see how this is going.
So, that was somewhat of a range war.
What's that war we had?
That was a range...
Dave, what was that war we had? What? The war...
Oh. You know, with the Argies.
The Falklands.
Yeah, the Falklands.
So, that was a range war.
In what way?
In that...
It's like, funny and also sad.
We had some really good boats...
We did.
That had some really good missile skills.
Yeah.
So we just parked on up in the, what's that? The
sea?
Pacific? Falklands? No. Which sea would that be?
Oh,
no,
Atlantic.
That's the Atlantic, right?
I don't know.
Anyway, we parked up there.
Yeah.
Southern Ocean.
The Southern Atlantic.
It's near the Antarctic.
It's not far off.
Is it?
So we parked up there and we thought...
Is it not near England?
We'll just...
Sorry.
Shoot our missiles from our boat.
Yeah.
And they can't hit us back because they don't have the capabilities of firing weapons that far.
We weren't shooting at the Falklands, were we? Because that's...
Yeah.
Why would we... No, we weren't shooting at the Falklands. We had the Falklands.
Yeah, we were trying to smash the bad guys.
They weren't on the Falklands, were they?
They wanted it back. We said no.
But did they get to it?
Did they get to it? Some of them did.
It was on the Falklands.
There's quite a famous...
Battle?
Battle?
Yeah, there was some battles.
I don't know.
I can't have dreamt it.
All right.
Anyway.
One of your Thatcher dreams. Oh, God, not again.
Oh, Maggie. God bless her. So, much like in my imagined world, the Falklands War...
I was going to point out for anyone listening that Tom has not even started reading the introduction. this Falklands stuff has got nothing to do with it.
I am not an ex-serviceman. I want to make that absolutely clear right now.
You're not Simon Weston. This is a totally different guy.
It's a different thing. Although I'm sure he still enjoys crisps.
The Tash, however... puts you on that kind of RAF Lord level flying madman.
RAF Lord flying madman.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Although the Falklands was primarily a Navy based campaign, but never mind.
Hence it being a range war. So, much like the Falklands was a range war.
Right.
Our castaway is a range actor in that he does the laughies and the cries. That's the first line of the intro.
Tom, none of that Falkland stuff was needed. You just had to say he had range.
Okay. Okay.
I think if you ever come to anything again, you think, I think I could use the Falklands as an analogy here.
Hey,
step away from it.
Let's not pretend.
Step away from wars that are in living memory.
That was no conscious thought. I did not sit and think, do you know what I'm going to talk about?
Much like we bombed the Iraqis as they fled Kuwait.
Okay, this week's castaway is an actor with range. He's a comedian. He's a writer.
He is.
He is a dweller of buildings.
Some of which I have no right to be in.
No. He is a key bearer. You have some keys, right?
I have some keys.
Yeah, well, there
I'm
you
not
go.
A jailer.
No, but you bear keys.
Or a janitor or a caretaker.
Exactly.
I've always fancied that job. Just the guy with a massive honk of keys on his
a
belt.
A honk of keys.
Do you know what I mean? 50 keys, just like, and you know what they're all for. And you pass it over to someone, and you go, hey, open the cupboard over there, and there's 50 keys, and they look at you with such, like,
how could you
wide
possibly...
eyes of, like, how could I possibly know which key it is? Is there any better power than going, it's that one.
It's the chub.
Yeah, it's the chub. Just without any kind of, like, flicking through them and trying, and just going, it's that one there.
But it's not really amazing, is it? Because all they've got to do is, like, hold 50 pieces of information in their head.
It's pretty good. I mean, I've got things. About three keys on my chain, and it takes me
another
15
note,
minutes
note
to get my house.
The listener, you held up four fingers. When you said
that. they were the yes,
they were the keys.
They were the keys. I streamlined this as well. Okay, here we go. Our castaway has starred in multiple Oscar and BAFTA nominated films. That's a fucking film star, Sam.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's true.
He's played the Duke of Gloucester in The King's Speech.
He did.
Played Montgomery Clyde in Paddington.
It's the best role ever.
Yeah. Paddington's Oh, my lords.
Yeah.
Pads and Pads 2 are in my top five films of all time.
I prefer the first one.
You wouldn't be wrong. You wouldn't be wrong.
As well as, I'm going to say Brevet. Would you say Brevet? In Les Miserables?
Les Miserables.
Apparently it's Brevet.
Brevet.
In Les Mis.
Yeah.
With the film.
Yeah,
I had to tussle with Anne Hathaway. More on that later.
More recently, our castaway has appeared in Michael Bay's Transformers 5.
What?
Yes, yeah. I did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, on the back of a horse.
Yes, sir.
Robot horse?
No, real one.
Shame.
But with enough robots around to make it concerning.
Enough bots.
Oh, terrifying. One of the most terrifying moments of my entire professional career thus far.
And Michael Bay is not someone who really cares about the safety of actors.
No, he really doesn't.
No.
But he does it with such charm and kind of casual ease that he doesn't.
Yeah.
He's quite forthright. And yeah, quite terrifying. Nearly killed me. Nearly killed me. That's not an exaggeration. Nearly killed me when you put an actor of, you know, on the back of a horse, on a polo pony, with the Oxford and Cambridge polo teams next to each other, going, this is absolute locks. Yeah, right. So let's go. I'm not one of you. I'm not a rider. Please don't. Why are you trying to... It's not a real game when you have drones flying all around you trying to kind of pick up, and you're going, I don't know what the fucking line is. I cannot remember what my fucking line is. And
Can't stop now.
I'm back of a horse. Got to keep going.
I tell you, we're going to go again, because you were at the pinnacle of that moment. You screamed the word Transformers are go, and I'm pretty sure that's not your line.
That's not even a quote from the film, but it's fine.
It's not even something that was ever said in Transformers. No one ever said Transformers are go.
Transformers are go. Is that all right? Is it, yeah? Thank you.
Do you know what? I did a telly once, and in the script it said, I kind of turned back to my cousin, and...
What were they doing there?
What do you mean, what were they doing? Not my actual cousin.
Oh, right.
My cousin within the kind of realm of this television.
You get a TV job to get your family to come along and watch.
Hey, Jimmy, you're in.
I'm going to do it now. Transformers are go!
But in the script it said I kind of reared up the horse in a kind of like celebratory manner. And then rode off like some kind of hero into the sunset. And I had a few lessons on the horse. They quickly realised... This guy's not for the equine. And, so they changed
not
it
very
completely.
Equine dexterous.
Where my cousin would just help me onto the horse, and we'd have this goodbye, and then someone would stand out of shot with some hay and just lure the horse towards it. Whilst I went, pretending it was me making the horse move. No, it was the hay. Anyway, there's more to this intro, I'm afraid. So, our castaway... is also a small screen wonder lord. He's probably best known for playing Kit Marlowe in Ben Elton's upstart Crow.
It's very good.
And Danny Bear in the marvellous Toast of London.
Shit.
I mean, that's a fucking good show, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it really is.
That's some seminal stuff right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could probably just quit now, couldn't you? You've done enough.
I'd like to think that, yeah. But there's a lot of things that require paying.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And so, yeah, as much as I would love to then bask.
Guys,
on,
I've done
on,
it.
You know, maybe a small holding on the Falkland Islands, somewhere like that. I don't know why I thought. Yeah. I would, you know, I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
But sadly, no.
Great range there. There's a lovely range.
Lovely range.
I don't know what I mean when I say range, but I feel like I want to say range.
Yeah. I want to say range. I want to talk about cookers as well. I don't know why.
Allow me.
Go on.
Other credits include Plebs, Wolf Hall, and Peep Show, all bangers. And I tell you what, Sam, for the sake of intro to actual podcast equality, I've heavily streamlined our castaways' televisual accomplishments. I mean, we would have been wildly into intro heavy versus.
It feels like
podcast.
You've only been in good things. I think everything I've been in has been rubbish.
Hey, no, there's lots more good things as well.
Really? Is there any crap on there?
There were, yeah.
I haven't got it on the old.
I mean, we've all got, there's a couple of doctors and bills and that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've done them both. There's nothing wrong with them.
Yeah. But Hollyoaks a long time ago.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, Hollyoaks. Jesus, yeah. We've been out for a while as well.
Not that long. People seem to think I was in it for longer than I was. I was not in it for that long.
It's about 3 years.
You have a very recognisable face.
18 months. Even with my cunning disguise,
yeah.
People will still go, what are you in? Yeah. You're in Hollyoaks when you're in Sainsbury's.
You've got a familiar face.
Yeah. Well, it's,
I think your cunning disguise, which for our listeners is a moustache,
is now synonymous.
Is now actually an anti-disguise. I'd recognise you more with a tat.
It's a guys.
Guys. Yeah, it's a guys.
It's a guys.
Our castaway has also written and performed in various stage productions. He also speaks Hebrew. It is, of course, Tim Downey.
Hi, Tim.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, I said that. I can also, you know, I also said that.
It's on
I
your
could,
spotlight.
You
know, the great thing
of
about
of course it is, along with like weightlifting, along with all kinds of other things, you kind of think, yeah, that's never going to be needed.
The good thing about speaking Hebrew is that most people go, do you speak Hebrew? And you go, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to know if you do or don't.
Yeah, exactly. You just go, and I go, wow, what does that mean?
Wow.
You could just say that means anything.
Yeah.
That's a greeting.
Hebrew.
That's a greeting.
That's Hebrew.
That's it.
That's Hebrew.
So, Tim, what is the best film we've ever been in?
the best film I've ever been in.
Yeah.
There are so many little elements of so many things. Paddington was brilliant because I got to go to Costa Rica for 2 weeks to do that kind of cloud forest bit, which was just great.
Oh, I thought they didn't just stick in a studio to do
No. A lot of people said at the time, why isn't
just,
this done
just
in
do it a studio?
You, just do this, you could do this in a studio.
It's just leaves.
And they went, but we're in Costa Rica. You go, okay, that's fine. That's
this
fine.
This film better do well.
Absolutely. A lot of money's been spent on this opening bit. So we'll worry about the CGI later.
How did they make the bears talk?
They do the same what they do with dogs, and they give a little bit of peanut butter on a stick.
Yeah.
Much like those kind of PG Tips monkeys.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
they threaten them.
Good.
Which I think is the best is the best way. In fact, one of the things we saw when we were in the forest, they said, okay, well, you're going to be kind of walking through this bit, and then you're going to see a bear in the undergrowth. All right, okay. And then they opened up this box of horrors that if a child saw what was in this box, they would literally kind of, they'd be weeping forever. Be like Momo, that kind of thing. And they brought out a bear's cute head on a stick.
What?
With a little kind of finger thing that they would then kind of pop up over the hedge and then kind of make its eyes move and then move around. But it was a puppet. But it was so kind of cute. And then just to see it on a stick was like something from Wolf Creek. Where you're going to go, what the fuck is that?
What was that for?
That's just the kind of, oh, long, so for distance, for distance right. stuff. But that still didn't ruin my quite lovely time in Costa Rica, which was lovely.
Well, should we? Welcome Tim to the island.
Yeah. So first and foremost, you are here. You've been washed up.
The apologies.
Island, yeah. Sorry about that. The island is a magical place. Mm-hmm. There is sustenance, and you get to choose what that sustenance is. It is 3 bags of crisps, which will last you forever.
Ooh.
There are endless amounts of them. And I hope that you've chosen something that you can live with for eternity.
I think I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a crisp man?
I am a crisp man. And I think what I've chosen here is a range also of textures.
Okay.
To, entice and enthrall the palate as the years roll on. And I think you'll understand why as we delve.
I like this. You put thought into it.
I fucking have put
thought
into
this. You haven't
just
walked into the shop and gone those 3.
Exactly. I've just gone, oh, I don't know, a quaver. It's not going to last you. It's not satisfying enough. They just dissolve.
Oh, okay.
You know, that would be my thing. Like a what's it dissolves. A corn-based snack is for fools.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We have a purist.
That's a fighting talk.
Oh, ladies and gents, we have a purist.
Yeah. All right, well, let's kick it off. What's your first bag, Signor?
Well, I'm going to go for the hula hoop barbecue beef. Not original, even though most people kind of go, well, the original is surely the best, surely a standard.
The way you said barbecue beef insinuated to me that you feel that there are other beef hula hoops.
No. That is, that's
I've gone
the
for
one.
The barbecue beef as opposed to the potted beef. Well, just, the pulled beef.
You know the ones you get in Somerset? The ones in the Cotswolds? You know, those really kind of fine ones.
The raw beef hula hoops. Right.
Well, whilst I open them, I'd like Sam to explain to our viewers the absolute douche move he has made.
Well, I don't feel it is. I mean, so I've gotten the big ones.
Yeah.
The big hula hoops. And I don't really get that they'll be particularly different. I don't know how big they are. Are they even that much bigger? So, they are.
Yeah, they are bigger.
In fact, for daddy's fingers.
For daddy's fingers.
Oh, my lord. I have little ladies.
You do
piano
have little lady hands.
You have the hands of Donald Trump. That's what you've got there.
Hey, come on, guys.
Trump hands.
Tuck in.
But I am able to wear these, what are they called? Large, big hoops upon my left little finger. Which actually, they smell good. Which
they do.
Makes them more appealing to me.
Mm.
So I'm going to eat them off my finger as one would when one was a child. However, now my fingers are longer, so I choke myself when
I try to. You're hitting your punch bag at the back of your throat.
Now, we've had a couple of plain, ready salted hula hoop chooses, and we've absolutely derided them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, I think the beef hula hoop and the salt vinegar hula hoop, they are pieces of work in my book.
But the thing is, like, they're not made from completely potato.
No, but that's what gives it its magic.
But they're so potatoey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a lingering beefiness to it.
Oh yeah.
It stays with you. You know, you can kind of have this in the morning, it'll still be there in the afternoon.
Yeah, they're repeaters, aren't they?
Oh, hello, what's that? Ah, yes.
Not an exciting crisp.
It's not an exciting crisp, but it will do the job. And it has that It's kind of a very homely crisp.
Yeah.
It's a crisp that kind of is full of reminiscence.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of go, oh, I remember these.
Yeah, you kind of sort of want them by a fire with a sort of a pint of mead or something, or sort of an ale.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have childhood memories of these, Tim?
I do. Many, many a happy childhood memory of these.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of kid on his own in the corner, not playing with anyone, but with all the crisps. That's a happy memory.
When?
That's a happy memory.
Oh, gosh, sorry. At what point do you kind of go, I think with hula hoops, you kind of go, you decide pretty definitely which one you are, whether you're plain, cheese and onion, salt and vinegar, or beef.
Mm-hmm.
I've always known I was salt and vinegar, but when did you realise you were beef?
Do you know what? Let me take you all the way back. Let me take you back to probably about 1989, okay. I'd say. And I was a salt, plain, purist. Always be the ones I would kind of grab hold of. Fantastic. And then one day they didn't have them in the little shop. I grew up in a little village in the little shop. So I thought, well, okay, I'll have these. They can't be that different. And then I remember sitting outside. It was a summer's day. And going, these are magnificent. Shouldn't really be eating them on a summer's day. They're not really. They're more of an autumnal food.
Autumnal snacking.
Autumnal snacking.
Yeah, slash winter.
Slash winter. This is exactly what you need on those slightly kind of, it's windblown days, little rain in the air.
There's a bovril to them.
They taste pleasingly brown.
They do. They absolutely do. And that for me is just full of, charm, reminiscence, kind of, absolutely glorious experience. And I'm right back there again. There's tears in my eyes.
I can't remember the last time I had a beef hula hoop. I mean, just like 3 seconds ago, but it's something I would never go for.
Hey, do you know what, right? If I was going to go for some kind of, whether it be barbecued, whether it be roasted beef, I think my go-to would normally be the Monster Munch, the roast beef Monster Munch.
Yeah.
But upon this licking and this sucking and this eating, do you know what? They are absolute banging. These.
They are good, aren't they?
They are good.
They are, yeah.
They look a bit dirty, so there's a good amount of dust on there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bit of, like, beef and onion to them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not barbecue, is it? Because there's no smoky taste.
That's a point.
No.
That's barbecue.
But you know what? That's because they were named in a time before barbecue, as, like, American barbecue was popularised in this country. So when barbecue beef just meant cooked beef.
just beef. That's just what we did.
That is slow cooked. Like,
it's brisket.
Can
I add? I think, you know those potatoes that have been sat underneath the roast beef when it's cooking?
Yeah.
All the drippings got inside the potato.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just have another one there with that in your mind.
I see what you mean.
They have a deep flavour.
They do.
Could you look this up, Producer Adam? There is a term for when food browns and it creates a flavour, and I think it's like a double-barrelled name. But it's very reminiscent. Onion.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
May I also add, the hula hoop has been available since 1973.
Oh.
I mean, that's a long-lasting snack.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Maillard reaction?
It may be the Maillard reaction, yes.
The Maillard reaction...
Can't stop eating them.
I know, I tell you, they are Moorish.
...is a chemical reaction between amino acids and reducing sugars that gives brown food its distinctive flavour.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what we've got going on here.
Oh, yeah.
Except we don't. Because it's a reconstituted potato covered in dust and chemicals. Yeah, it's salt and chemicals.
Mm. So, to wrap this up, I'm going to wear one on my finger for the rest of the show and pretend I'm a gypsy fighting lord.
All right, babe. Your fingers are going to smell really brown.
I'm happy
really
with that. Yeah. I'm happy with that.
Well,
should be.
I'm not a meat crisp person.
But?
I think if people fall into two camps. I think people are meaty.
Yeah.
And other people are tangy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it weren't for Brexit, that might be what was divided the country. That would be what would divide the country now.
That is actually a far more of a reason.
It's a better reason.
It's a better reason.
It's a better reason.
Than the shit show that we're in right now.
You can't marry him. He eats beef space raiders. Which are actually very, very good.
Sam, quiet yourself down now when it comes to beef space raiders.
I had it by accident. They were quite good.
They were okay. But in comparison to the Wonderlords, I've used that word about 3 times.
You are really on the Lord.
Have I coined it?
Wonderlords?
Yeah, what is that word? Why does it keep saying Wonderlords?
It's not a thing.
Anyway, Tim, thank you for bringing them to the island.
Excellent.
You're the first person to do so.
Oh, you are.
And I commend you highly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Right, let's get into our second selection.
Let's do it.
What we got?
We have got... Now, I would like to say beforehand,
yeah,
I don't know why, but I am a very big fan of a deep ridge cut crisp.
Absolutely.
Anything with a ridge, I believe, retains flavour, holds flavour. Mm-hmm. You get texture, different texture than you're used to, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And thin walkers, great, fabulous. We all love them. But there's something about a ridge. Mm-hmm. Kind of snap. There's different ways to eat it.
Yes.
Snap it off into little
bits. One at a time, little bits.
Sir. The bigger the one, the bigger the crisp you can get, the glory. You want to show people, look at the size of this.
Yes.
Look at that. Get telly off that. Amazing. It's a thrill. I'm a ridge man.
Your favourite game is Ridge Racer. Andrew Ridgely is your favourite pop star. You're a ridge man.
I'm a ridge man. What can I say?
If you were a ridge man.
And we're back to Hebrew. And, but these are glorious. These are absolutely glorious. This, and I would put, I mean, it was a very tough call. It was between this and potentially the paprika.
Oh, okay.
The paprika.
I should point out to those at home, we've got the not very well known, I would say. I don't.
Yeah.
They're a multi-pack crisp.
A multi-pack crisp. McCoy's Bacon Sizzler.
Yeah.
All right.
Give it a whirl.
Oh, look at them.
Just let it sit on the nose first, like a fine wine.
God, they look dirty. Just nice.
Put your nose in there.
Oh, there we go.
The nose in the whole pack.
Game changer.
That is porky town.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There you go.
Mm. Oh, they're different, aren't they?
Oh, do you know what I like about them as well?
Yeah.
You can tell. Look at the state of that one. Like the, I like a dark ridge.
That is the.
Oh yeah.
That is the last girl in the disco at 3 p.m. that one.
Oh my! Oh Tim!
Oh yes! Look at that. Mm.
Now so I've never had these.
My normal. Look at this. Looks like a heart.
Do you see the fun?
Yeah.
It's endless.
Dad, show me the photo of that.
It could be a washboard for a borrower.
Literally anything at all. Look at that. Beautiful.
Is it bacon? I mean, it's... I suppose it is. It's quite bacony.
Mm. But it's an artificial bacon. It's like a prawn cocktail. I didn't taste like a prawn.
No.
But there's a zing to it. There's a little. Whoa.
There is a little bit of. Do you know how, like, when you go to a cafe and you have cafe bacon and it's nothing like bacon you buy in the shops? So it's cheap, but it's from a butcher.
Mm.
And sometimes it tastes. Yeah. So sometimes it tastes a bit... It's from a big supplier. But it tastes a bit vinegary.
That ain't a butcher, though.
Yeah.
Someone's got a butcher,
right? Yeah, but a meat supplier and a butcher are two different things in my book.
I don't know that they are. I mean, a meat supplier and a butcher, as in a company versus one man, maybe.
I think if you're a meat supplier, you're a butcher.
I think that's the way it's got to be.
Well, no, actually, because to butch, you have to...
To butch.
To butch.
Yeah. In order to butch. I butch.
We butch, they butch. They all butch.
We butcher.
Look at these dark ones.
Pure oil. Mm.
Dark ones, yeah. Here, look.
Mm. Yeah. So, Tim, well, that was dirty.
See, that's your classic pub crisp.
Oh, yeah.
You're all
yeah.
involved.
Yeah.
You're involved. You get the chat going, oh, hello, what's
there is a bit of tang to it. There is a bit there of that is, kind yeah. of...
What is your connection to this crisp, Tim? Is this a drunk crisp? Is this a...
I think
private
this,
crisp.
I think this started as a drunk crisp, mm-hmm. and then on those moments of clarity, you would then pick it up and go, "Oh, I had this a couple of nights ago. I'll try this." Go, oh, "Hello, this is a taste sensation. I want this again."
It is full of flavour.
It's full of flavour.
Yeah,
it's the ridges.
Mm-hmm. Which I would say meat crisps often kind of lack a little bit because
mm.
they're very much a sort of a base note. Meat flavour is very much a base note where your sort of salt and vinegars and things are a top note.
Mm. Yeah.
So sometimes with the base note. Flavours, it's hard for them to come through. But that's, I think that's playing the, that's yeah. the whole Symphony of Bacon going on right there.
It's there.
It sings.
Here's a question. You have in a sandwich and you got those. What sandwich are you going to have with them?
That's tricky. Maybe a light cheese.
Yes.
Light cheese, all right.
Yes. Light cheese. You don't want to overpower.
So not a mature cheddar. What are you talking about? Sort of like
maybe like
low
a...
low-fat Primula or something?
Oh, maybe like a Wensleydale.
Oh, a Wensleydale.
Something a bit soapy, okay. but still...
What bread?
Well, I would probably go for a cut-yourself granary.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Bit of butter? Not,
a little bit. Okay. Or maybe on one of them, quite a lot.
Yeah, right.
Quite
yeah.
a lot. Get that, whoa, this is a bit naughty.
Well, that's the naughty one,
This
yeah.
is the naughty
which
one.
Which bit is the cheese and which bit is the butter?
I mean, it's impossible.
I'd choose more butter. Just eat butter.
Like, I'm still, like, unable to spread butter properly. I'm always just making holes in the bread.
Really? Right? You've got to leave it out.
Yeah.
Get
a butter dish.
I've got a butter dish. I just
use it.
I am. But I had a bad experience where I'd...
tried to spread the dish?
No, I just left it in there for about 4 months. I'd made some nice little kind of mackerel...
A bit of bad butter?
Mackerel pate, yeah. But I buttered my thing and I was eating it going, something wrong with this. It's not right, eating it. And then the next day, had a little whiff of the old butter. Off butter is a terrifying thing.
Mate, I say famously, well, within our group of friends, our dear friends Max and Carolyn, they got married in Bavaria. Round one table, there was a sort of Bavarian delicacy, which is raw pork.
Mm-hmm.
We used to joke with Max about
raw pork.
Raw pork, fillet, just chopped up, and you have it on like a crostini type, bruschetta type thing.
Like a tartare kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly that, yeah. Right. Mixed with some pork.
Tartare.
And in the middle of this table was a butter horse. And it was a horse, like on its hind legs, made entirely out of butter.
A carving, a butter carving?
Yeah, giant. I know, 6 foot tall.
Me, 6 foot tall?
Yeah.
Like one of these kind of ice carvings, but made of butter, where everyone could just come and have a bit.
Well.
And the story begins.
Old silly sausage over here thinks, well, that's where you get your butter from. Start hacking off bits of the leg to spread it on. Eat it. I'm like, oh my God, I nearly vomit. Of course, butter horse. They don't just make a new butter horse every time someone gets married. Butter horse does many a function. Butter horse is very old. Butter horse made me poorly. Yeah, I was the only guy who tried to spread from the horse.
Never spread from the horse.
Just spread from the horse.
Well, once again, Tim.
Yeah.
No one has brought this to the island.
Yeah.
I commend them. I'm eating them now. I should have dinner before we do these because, like. Can't stop smashing these things. Look at these tiny little... These are the best bits. Mm. The shards.
Yeah. McCoy's are good for shards.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good for shards. It's a good shard crisp.
Yeah, you want the bits right at the very end.
McCoy's are great in the sense that you either get really big ones
mm-hmm.
or really good sort of shardy ones.
Yeah.
But they tend to have lots of flavour on them.
Yeah.
I'm a shard guy.
I'm a shard guy. But do you know what? I want the big ones to... I can't just have all shard. You know, you've got to...
You want a full meal before getting to the shards. Yeah. You want that kind of big... Oh, I just take a bit off.
It's light and dark,
isn't
it?
I'm going to do this. Eat it around a circle, all like that. Like
you've got all the little like a cock on the cock.
It's like, you know, pork scratchings.
Oh, yeah.
The little tiny, full of flavour ones are what I'm talking about.
The ones that got liquid in them.
Yeah, not the big puffy, like, puffy?
No, the ones that are kind of dried and then fried and that are just like crackle, crunchers.
The crunchers are like, there's a middle ground between the two. There's one that just, and they're quite often covered in hair, these ones.
I don't mind a bit of the
hair.
You can't do the hair.
I like it that it's got the hair
and also that bit underneath where it's slightly molten.
Have you ever got one that's got like a bit of nipple in it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really,
yeah, they're good.
A bit of nip.
They're good.
Well, when I just have to cook a lot of pork belly, the belly comes in, and then, you know, and some of the meat comes in, it's just a piece of meat, and you don't really think too much. Mm. And it comes in, it's got the nipples on it, and you're like, ugh, like, have I got to cut them off? And you sort of do, because you cook it, and then, like, there's nipples. You've absolutely got to cut the nipples off.
You take nothing else away from this evening.
But then you've got the little nipples, then you're like, shall I eat them?
I mean,
what if I had loads and I cooked loads up? Would it be like this weird little dish?
Pork nips.
It would like a little delicacy.
Yes, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Great. Like a bowl, like caviar. But
these are delicious. Yeah. What is this?
Nipples.
Well, I'll have another.
I was about to do exactly what you just did.
Well, you've seen the same thing. Yonder distance.
What is that?
Well, it looks like a little V, doesn't it? But it's moving. It's
flapping towards us.
Oh, what is it? Oh, it's Steven Seagal. Here he is. Oh, he's got something for us, Tom.
What is it?
Oh.
Oh.
What's that?
Not as heavy as previous.
Some abroad crisps.
Oh, not the foreign crisps.
It's got some abroad crisps.
Hey, they're not proper foreign. Now they're speaking English.
You've got English on them. Now, these are all the way from America.
Oh, my.
These are very famous, I guess, in America. Mm. Funyuns.
Ah. Oh, they were due.
Which is a good name.
Funyuns.
Hmm. Does sound like something you want to eat. Want to go get some Funyuns?
I don't know. For me, it sounds like some kind of, like, viral disease.
You got Funyuns.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of bunions.
Well, yeah.
I'm now.
Here we go.
Like something a Smurf would have.
Yeah.
A Smurf would have a Funyun.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You got Funyuns.
Right. So, for our listeners at home, what are they, Sam? They're an onion ring.
These are basically an onion ring crisp, aren't they?
Hey, they look very onion ringy.
They do.
And Tim, for you, I suppose we've completely just presumed you know what this segment is. Stephen drops in a packet of foreign crisps, abroad crisps, crisps that aren't from around here. You get to have a little taste, and then if you see fit, you can swap them in for one of your choices. It's a rarity, but hey.
It has happened before.
A multi-international corporation here.
Yeah.
So let's...
let's try a Funyun.
Let's do it.
Oh.
No, I do like an onion crisp. I like a Ringo.
Yeah.
I do like a Ringo. What other ones were there?
It's not as dirty as an onion ring that I'm more acquainted to. But you get an onion ring from any kind of given supermarket... They tend to be pretty MSG'd.
Yeah, but I quite like those. That kind of really dirty onion flavour.
Yeah.
These are a little bit more... These are very crunchy.
You don't get a cheapo onion ring in this country. They tend to be quite spherical, like almost too perfect.
Mm. Yeah.
They want these to look like real onion rings.
Yeah, these look kind of authentic.
They're very light.
It's almost like crunchy. Someone's just taken the onion out of it.
Yeah. I agree, Ads.
Anonymously.
They're kind of like diet onion rings, but they're very crunchy and very light.
One of the most painful things you can do when eating a real onion ring, of course, in a restaurant, is when you bite through the onion ring and then pull back.
Mm-hmm.
And you pull the batter away, but the onion stays in your mouth.
Yeah.
And then the onion unspools from the batter and slaps your chin.
Chin slap.
Chin slaps.
Hey, my little sister ended up in hospital once.
From an onion ring chin slap?
It was a similar occurrence. She was having a toasty... And she had tomato in the toast.
Oh, my gosh.
And we all know a tomato is heavily water-based. So basically, she boiled a tomato, took a bite, similar thing, slipped out, landed on her chin. See you later, alligator.
Really? Tomato burn on the chin?
Tomato, like, first-degree vibes.
Really?
Or third. What's worst? Third is worse than first.
I think second's the worst one.
Okay. Well, second-degree burns upon the chin. Tim, what do you think of these Funyuns?
Do you know what? I like them.
Yeah.
They do have a good crunch.
They do.
They have a good flavour.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could eat an old bag.
No, I'm pretty bored of them.
Yeah. They get a bit heady.
They get a bit...
Oh, okay.
I feel like they put all the work into the texture.
Yeah. They've...
There's no onion depth.
No.
There's more depth of onion in your barbecue beef.
I thought so.
I thought so as well.
And you get the satisfaction of the crunch.
Yeah.
Whereas this is crunch, but because it's a maize-based snack...
It is a maize-based
snack. Dissolves very quickly.
It does, you lose it.
And you're left with, again, like a paste that sits round the gums.
I'd like them to have been less crunchy and more oniony.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be writing to Frito later to let them know.
You should do.
Go quite nicely with your beef hula hoops, though, wouldn't they?
You could link them through.
You could use them as a kind of lift.
I'm doing that.
As a little...
Ooh. Like a ski lift.
But you know, those beef, onion, and crisps have
always... Let's marry them together, see what happens.
Let's see what happens. I think it's going to go nicely. Thank you.
Mmm, not really. Weirdly enough.
The two weird crunches,
yeah.
Odd.
Yeah.
The beef hula hoop wants supremacy as well.
Hula hoops
do. It will not lay down.
No. We know this of hula hoops.
Mm.
Then when mixed with another crisp, even a ready salted hula hoop will come out on top in the flavour states, because it just will not back down.
It will not back down.
It's a stubborn snack.
It's the North Korea of crisps. It will definitely, no matter what you say to it, it will agree, but it just won't do it.
I'm playing.
Yeah, I'll do it. What, all of this?
Before you know it, the summit's over.
We're not doing it. Pick up your umbrella.
No, other end.
All right, just leave it.
Leave it there.
For God's sake, get out of the country.
So, Tim, are they within your consideration of replacing one of your choices?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no.
I've got to agree.
Yeah, good.
And before we move on to crisp three, I'm going to go for a piss.
Those crisps that came out, I think they were bubblegum flavour. Do you remember those?
No.
Maybe I should save this.
Yeah.
Save it.
Yeah.
And I miss Brannigans. Thick furriness of a crisp. Yeah. Should be hairy. Should have hair. Don't miss hair.
I've googled butter horse German. No sign of any kind of like real official kind of this is something we do in Germany.
Carved horse made of butter. There you go. That's him.
The butter horse was designed for Max and Carolyn's wedding.
Well, it didn't have a carriage.
Jesus Christ.
People just carve stuff out of butter. I don't know why it's got to be a horse.
It'd be less romantic to have sort of like a Volvo carved out of butter on your wedding table.
Although in parts of China, they would do that.
Yeah, we would love that.
Much like the ghost money. You know the ghost money that they burn, the Chinese burn? Oh. They have a thing called ghost money. I think it's every July, there's a thing called a ghost day in China, where they will make anything and everything out of paper. So they'll make cars, mobile phones, houses, shoes, anything that they believe the dead will need, and then they'll just burn it. But it's a whole day of just burning things, and they will make anything and everything out of paper.
They love burning stuff.
They really love burning stuff, which is why they'll be our overlords.
Yeah.
Apologies, gents.
That's all right.
Where'd you go?
The wee and poo spot where we normally go.
Where's that then?
You mean the drinking pool?
No, not the drinking pool. Right. That's my point. The opposite of.
They are next to each other. Did you get the right one?
I think so.
Which one are you using?
The one on the left, yeah.
Who's left?
Looking out the hole or from the hole?
Looking out the hole, yeah. On the left.
Oh dear.
Okay.
Oh, I pooed in here.
Oh, never mind. While you were gone, Mr. Danny brought up something very interesting. And you might remember this, but I bloody don't.
Bubblegum flavoured crisps.
Was it a Monster Munch product?
It may well have been. I just remember trying them once, thinking myself quite the cat. Yeah, I'll try this. And go, these are fucking revolting.
Because I know Monster Munch had some wacky, like, cream soda type vibes.
Yeah. And it's just wrong.
And it must have been a May snack, right?
It must have been, yeah.
No potato purist is going to make a bubble gum.
Yeah,
crisp.
You're not going to get Derek Walker.
No.
From Walker's. I believe he's called Derek. Or Ron. Like Ron Bacardi. Most, you know, like Ron Pilates. Everyone seems to be called Ron. So he was Ron Pilates. Made Pilates.
Did he?
Yeah, Ron Pilates.
His name was Ron.
Ron Bacardi. His name was Ron. So I'm assuming.
L. Ron Hubbard. His name was L.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong there. Nothing wrong there at all. I'd just like to say that. Nothing wrong there at all.
I'd love to work with you, Mr. Cruz.
Can't find him.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just some sort of fever dream he had.
Could well have been a fever
dream. But you know what? Google doesn't have everything on crisps, because I do remember tangy flavoured discos, which were absolutely amazing. The fact that he just called themselves tangy, it's not beat around the bush, potato.
Didn't need any more.
It was like Dr. Pepper, like, it doesn't matter what flavour, it doesn't matter what's in it.
Apparently,
what flavour is it? It's Dr. Pepper.
Sarsaparilla. What did you say? What is that? Is that some sort of root? I've got nothing to base that on.
It's like Coke. Drink it. no bubblegum crisps on Google.
I think Google. I must have sat down at some point with a tab clear and had a bubblegum flavour crisp. That's still... messes with you can still buy it on eBay. You can still buy Tab Clear on eBay, which still messes with my head.
It was Pepsi that made it, wasn't it? Was it Coca-Cola that made it?
It was Coke.
I think it was Coke. Yeah,
it was Coke. It was Coke because it tasted just like Coke, but it was clear.
It was so freaky.
Really freaky. Was that the one with?
Why do they call it Tap Clear? Why not just?
They were trying to carve a new brand.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
This is what happens if we don't put all the stuff in it.
We take out that bit, but we leave this.
That's what it looks
like. If
you
take out the brown...
Caramel, the E4601...
No, you said it earlier, I've forgotten it. Anyway.
The Maillard, Mallard effect.
The Mallard. Yeah, it was Coke, just in case you weren't clear on that. Does anyone remember... I was convinced that I'd made this up for years until I found an old can of it. Mm. Quattro. Yeah. Quattro.
Yeah, what was Quattro?
The can had like four squares of colour on it. I spent years as a child looking around shops. Every day I would do this. Where is this drink that I can remember having once? Mm. I just assumed I'd made it up because the internet didn't exist at this point. So I assumed I'd made it up until in a bush next to some old porn mags I found an old can of it. I
was really?
Wow. I stopped what I was doing and... and I picked the can up.
I left the porn mags, picked up the can of someone else's drink.
And I drank it.
No, what a day that
was.
Yeah,
I remember that.
You found Quattro and porn
mags. What was Quattro? What flavour was it?
It was a canned fruit-flavoured carbonated drink produced from 1982 to 1986. That's why I can...
That's a very small window.
In the United Kingdom, which is where I live. This gets boring after that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Gets boring.
Oh, you all know what the flavour was, wasn't it? Fruit flavour.
Fruit.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but great. What fruit? Don't worry. Fruit. It's a fruit. Drink it.
Don't worry about it.
It's nice.
It's kind of tropical in colour.
But it was the can.
Art Deco.
Look at that.
That is a piece of modern design.
I do miss a ring pull, a good old quality ring pull.
Yeah. Mm. You know the Tab Clear, though? Didn't they try and reinvent the thing where you had to, like, pop a button?
Yeah.
Am I making it up?
It's true.
Like, pop it.
Do you know what? They tried to change. That's what they did. They tried to... Too much revolution in one go.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to change it bit by bit.
Exactly.
Insidious they needed to be.
They needed to be more insidious. Absolutely.
Blatant they were.
Never were. That's not the Brexit I voted for.
No.
I can tell you that right now.
Shall we move on to Tim's third and final crisp forever choice?
What is it, Mr. Here we go.
Now, this I feel is an everyday crisp.
Mm-hmm.
This is a crisp that is fit for any moment. You'd be going out, going to a wedding. Oh, I'll have some of these. I'm going to a christening. I'll have a quick bag of this. I'm just sitting in the car... waiting for someone.
The third one to me seems more of like an everyday.
Yeah, far more everyday. The salt and vinegar square.
Mm-hmm.
The salt and vinegar square.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic. It is still the most popular choice.
Is it really?
On the show, yeah.
Yeah.
And rightly so.
Right, I'll crack a bag.
Because we...
It's a big bag, isn't it?
It's a pound bag, which worries me slightly. We've had issues with pound bags in the past. Sam is doing the Rufus Hound opening trick. Anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, check out our Instagram and you can see a live version of it.
Hello.
With Sam's big
sausage hands.
We're making it into a box of tissues.
Yeah.
It's essentially
there we go,
happened,
look at that. Open up.
Goodness.
Bada bing. You ever seen that before, Tim?
I have never.
Like you get the back of taxis.
Yeah.
But when they're driven by old guys that have been taxiing for years.
Yeah.
They have a box of tissues on the back.
In a gold box.
Do you know what?
It's so good, man.
I was about to say, that is another bad bag of squares. Would you say that's the best bag of squares you've ever had?
I wouldn't say that, but believe you me, I've had my fair few.
So
to pick out one.
I feel like they're getting worse.
I had a small bag the other day, a multi-pack bag, and it was among the best I'd ever had.
Maybe size
in this case does matter.
Yeah.
I think they've become mega popular and they've been overproduced and they've scrimped on their quality control. I'm saying it.
I think it might actually be the EU's fault. In all honesty, it's not as salty as it used to be because they're regulating it. But it's all right, we can change all that soon.
Great, hang on.
Great, you know, that's...
See?
Well, there's
that's
a plus.
That's an upside.
There's one.
More salt on my squares.
With the only seasoning you are ever allowed in this glorious Farage-based utopia. Great.
I think the reason we niggle at squares too much is because the standard is so high. We don't niggle at Space Raiders in the same way, because there's an acceptance that with Space Raiders, 50% of the bags are going to be absolute toilet.
Things that I disagree. These, every bag I keep getting now are these brown,
my art,
over-fried, tasteless, ooh, wannabes.
Jesus Christ, Tim. Goodness,
they're not what they used to be.
It's not a good bag, though. I'd say it's not a great bag.
They're not what they used to... Every bag I have now, they're not what they used to be.
Tim, what do you think of it?
See, I quite like the dirtiness of them, in the sense that I quite like something that's been slightly over-fried. Mm. Yeah. That's kind of why I like, kind of why I enjoy them. They're not a Kraft crisp.
No.
They're not a Brannigan's.
No.
You know, something like that. They're not of that ilk. They're not of that...
I like the way you call them a Kraft crisp. Brannigan's is like the sort of...
Absolutely. When you go to kind of... Was it the roast ham and mustard?
Yeah, yeah.
You have that when you're nine, going, these are too hot, but you still get to the end.
Yeah.
Glorious. You know, or like a kettle chip that's kind of not been fried or been baked. No. This is exactly what this is. This has just been dumped in oil that's come off a rig. Let it sit there. Yeah. And then drained it in some sort of vat or something.
It's like
the
McDonald's fryer oil gets sent straight over the walkers where they do the squares.
Yeah.
And then they turn it into biofuel.
Exactly. And that's kind of their glory. It's kind of that thing of like when you have a prawn mayonnaise sandwich and that mayonnaise is obviously quite shit, but it's something about it that's absolutely
shit mayonnaise
is incredible.
You don't Bristol, want like yellow mayonnaise.
Like if you have a chicken burger or something like that, you don't want Hellmann's on it. You want like mayonnaise that's come out of a massive 25 kilo tub that says like real mayonnaise flavoured
mayonnaise with a Z.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Laser-naise.
Do you like a crap sandwich?
I do like a crap sandwich.
I'm a big crap sandwich guy.
Absolutely. There's an umami quality to the crapness
that crap
you just can't get.
I don't like crap. From,
we're talking like a service station sandwich or
yeah. Or Sainsbury's or I mean, just the worse the better.
You do like a bad sandwich?
Cheese and onion sandwich.
Oh, the cheese and onion sandwich. Yeah. Okay, so you're in a supermarket. What are you going for?
Oh, I'll go for prawn mayonnaise every time.
I'll go for prawn mayonnaise
every time. You don't know why?
It's the scariness. It's like
it's the unknown.
Because like the rest of the stuff is ham, stuffing, cheese, and all of a sudden you're trusting these guys with prawns.
Yeah, and you're in an Esso.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night, and it's the only one.
Yeah.
Why are people left that one?
Yeah.
Why is it this one that I am now taking?
Yeah, and it's in like it's like in the wrong section. Like it's been picked up and moved. It's like picked up and people looked at it and gone, no.
It's been left by the oil.
Yeah.
It's not even the fridge.
Things aren't that bad. I would say prawn cocktail sandwich, prawn mayonnaise sandwich, and squares.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful combination.
Fabulous.
Because the prawn cocktail sandwich, prawn mayonnaise sandwich is so soft. Especially if it's on that little soft brown bread.
Oh, yeah.
You know the one?
I know exactly the one.
Yeah. So it's almost like
malted.
It's malted, but it's not brown bread.
It's not
brown bread.
It's not, no.
We know what it is.
Yeah.
It's white bread.
It's been rubbed.
It's white bread with a tan.
Yeah. And that's it. That's all that is.
That soft oatmeal, oaty bread.
Yeah.
Back in squares.
Breakfast of
Kings.
In
the front seat of a car, eating quickly,
wonderful.
With a sense of shame.
Oh, wonderful. In the rain.
Yeah.
In the rain, near a bin.
Yeah.
So you can just wind down the window, straight into the bin.
And in a service station where all you're getting is like local BBC radio stations. Like BBC Radio Gloucester, and they're doing like something like really hilarious. Like they're having like a format.
Someone's brought their dog in.
Okay. Right. What film was this from? Yeah.
Yeah. That is...
Well, that's a combo.
That's glorious.
And if you feel any fancy, a Yorkie to finish.
Oh, which have got smaller, which annoys me. I believe at some point, maybe I made this up, that they used to spell out the word Yorkie on each bit.
Right,
whereas now, just write Yorkie on the, I don't know how many bits there are, four, five. Whereas before it spelt out Yorkie.
Yorkie chunks were too big for your mouth.
Yes, they were.
They were too big for your mouth.
You had to bite them in half.
You don't have to bite them anymore.
No, you don't. I fully appreciate I have got bigger.
Yeah.
Fully appreciate scale.
Yeah.
Get that.
But I have not doubled in size.
Exactly. My tiny boyish hands at the time could easily cope with it.
Yeah, because it was ridiculous. Yorkies were sort of just too chunky. Because there had to
which
be something
one,
to
which
make
one would
up.
You have? Mine would have to be the
raisin biscuit. Raisin biscuit every time. Yeah. I'm not an idiot.
And original.
You like original. The thing is, you have to have something to take away from the fact that they make very bad chocolate.
Yeah.
Is it Nestle? It
must be.
Nestle chocolate.
Must be. Early Roundtree, now Nestle.
Yeah, when they got bought out.
Headquarters used to be in Croydon.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Well, of course, Ness, the Roundtree, were in up in Halifax.
Some good chocolate knowledge there, lads.
Can't find any sign of it used to being, like, you know, the word spot out. No, it's been erased from the internet.
You've had those cleaners going, those people who erase your history.
Everything's got smaller, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
If you think, what a way to maximise profit is you just make your thing a tenth smaller, then you increase your profits by
10%, something like that.
That's a pretty good profit raise, I'd say.
Because Cadbury's brought out that bar called Flight, which was aimed squarely at the female market.
What was it called?
Flight. And it was like, and the advert was like 50% less fat than a Mars bar, and you're like, and you get it, and it weighs 15 grams. It's a fraction of the size. Of course, it's got less fat than a Mars bar. It's
a Milky Way.
If that. It was a single. It was a single. Oh, anyway, they were quite tasty.
Like a poor man's Drifter.
Was, or a poor man's Time Out, in a way. I do like Time. Time Out.
I like a Drifter.
I remember when Time Out.
I like a Drifter.
But a cold Drifter is awful. Room temperature Drifter, excellent.
Okay.
Because if that inside wafer toffee bit gets too crunchy, it's not pleasing.
What's your problem with these, Tom? I've only like
the Funyuns.
I've never really no. Sorry.
The squares.
See, from my point of view, I can't remember them being any different to this.
Really?
But I'm not.
They were paler. They were twice as flavoursome, and they were straighter. I don't like these curly. I don't like these curly squares. They're not squares.
Squares.
They're not squares.
That's an irregular shape.
It's like the bananas.
Straighter, are they? You should call them a rhombus.
Yeah.
That's what you should call them. Rhombus.
Your bloody rhombuses.
I think it's pretty some truth in it, and I think a lot of it is just your snack-based paranoia.
They're not as good as they were.
It tastes great.
I'd have chose them.
Yeah.
They were in my, like, top five. I was nearly going to choose them. I'm so glad I didn't now.
I reckon if you're going to eat squares, get them in a smaller bag.
I think so.
For some reason, they seem to be better.
I think so, yeah. And it creates the Moorishness of them as well. Little bags.
Yeah.
And they're actually lower calorie than most crisps.
Well, this is the gift that keeps on giving.
Look at this, calories. Ladies.
Per what? Serving is about 7 grams of fat.
Are you supposed to share this bag?
Well, I wouldn't, but...
Big fucking bag.
It is a lot.
The bag's big, but it's the interior that you've got to look at. That's
the contents.
That's the thing. They've increased bag size, but lowered content.
Yeah, there's only 10 grams of crisps in there now.
Yeah.
It's mainly bag. But people got really into the bags.
All of the following snack brands are available in multi-packs, and these little portions are less than 99 calories. Not this bag.
Not that bag.
Not that
so
bag.
They've been very careful. They managed to put 99 calories in big letters there. And there's a little box that comes out just to sort of say, but not this bag.
Little bastards.
It's Walkers. Yeah. Now, you'd think if there was a quality control issue, the Walkers would be... They'd just throw money at it, wouldn't they?
Do you know what? It's because it's an adopted child. It's a stepchild.
It was a Smiths product, wasn't it?
Squares for Smiths.
Right.
And you think about all the products that got bought in by Walkers, I reckon it's just a slowly turning the public against them.
Yeah.
So they die of natural causes.
Yeah.
Slow poisoning, like
phasing
Munchausen
out.
By proxy or something.
Mm.
Well, that's another conspiracy theory, but like most conspiracy theories, I think it's true.
Ron Walker.
Yeah, if you're at Walkers, get in touch.
So, Tim Downey, you have the barbecue beef hula hoop.
Very good.
The McCoy's Bacon Sizzler Ridge Cut.
Yeah. A surprising tart topper.
Thank you.
And the now Walker's Salt Vinegar Square.
Mm. They're glory fading somewhat, but still.
But still up there.
That's it. A solid, solid choice of crispage.
But that's not all. Because on this island, you have two other choices to make.
Oh, Christ.
The first one is a soft drink of your choice.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so, this drink is going to have to last you... Forever. You can only drink this drink. Nothing else but water.
Wow.
And there is a free supply of water.
Well, I mean, we're on a desert island, we don't have any money. So if they came around and were like, guys, we're turning off the water, like, oof,
we've talked about this. We have a magic pool of water.
Yeah.
We don't have taps of water. You have to collect your water from a pool that has not been sullied until I just went for a wee and sullied it. I sit upon the pool.
Real... What are you, Dumbledore?
Harry, make me drink it, Harry.
I just use an old Diet Coke can.
Just something you found. Quattro. Well, Quattro, I think I found it there.
Well, my forever drink was Diet Coke.
Interesting.
Because I want to just die as soon as I can. So I just use an empty can, just hold that under the water and it will fill up and I'll just drink water out of that. No, well, so it's a soft drink. Tom chose sparkling water.
Mm-hmm. I'm standing by it.
Refreshing.
You're not standing by it. You get it every day. What do you think you'll go for?
Well, I'm actually going to go back to potentially what we said earlier, which was I may go for a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
I may go for a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Because it goes back to that similar thing about the squares, is it's so artificial.
Yeah.
And you just the constant guessing as to what it is. That would take up, for me, nearly a month, maybe 2 months of...
You're using it to buy time as well. Yeah, using it to use up time. That's good.
Yeah. You kind of think, this is nice. And then you kind of forget about it and kind of go, no, I hate you. Get away from me. And then you go, no, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said all those things. And then you go back and, you know, just cover yourself in
it. And at some point on the island, as madness set in, we would probably start to believe that it was the actual doctor.
Yes. And why are you not singing the hits, Sergeant? That kind of thing.
It has to be cold, though, Dr. Pepper.
Does have to be cold.
It would be cold on the island. We've got a fridge or something.
Yeah.
But it's not a good warm...
What is that?
No, I know, but...
I used to work in a bar in Finsbury Park where a certain portion of the clientele would come in and they would say, a glass of Coke. And you go, all right. So you pull them a glass of Coke and they'd say, could you make it hot? And I go, what?
Yeah.
And they would say, could you put it in the microwave? And I'm saying, I'm sorry, you want me to microwave Coke? I said, yeah. I go, all right. So then I'd microwave a glass of Coke and they go, thanks very much. That's delicious. I tried it. It's vile. It's absolutely vile. But it was a very popular drink at certain times of the evening with a certain clientele.
In Finsbury Park.
Which bar in Finsbury Park was it?
It was the Rowan's Bowling Alley.
Yes! You used to work in Rowan's.
I used to work in Rowan's Bowling Alley.
That was my dream job.
So did I thought ever. That. I thought that. I'd watch Kingpin, thought, yes, I want to bowl. I'm obviously brilliant at it. I'll go and work in a bowling alley, am I? It came crashing down. I thought I'd be working with the balls, with the pins, getting all kind of, you know, no, it was just behind the bar, microwaving Coke.
Certain time of evening at the Rowan 10-pin bowling alley. Mm. Things can get very moody down there.
They can certainly take a turn.
Yeah. Love that place.
Let me tell you that.
It's one of the few places I've gone in during the day and been searched for a weapon.
It was a bank holiday. I mean, come on, people.
I've got a challenge for you, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to tell me what you think the flavour of Dr. Pepper actually is.
I believe it to be sarsaparilla.
Just that?
Well, probably.
What if I told you there was more than one flavour?
Oh, well, then I am now intrigued.
God, it's a hell of a list. I've had a peek.
Is it really?
It's amazing.
God, is there... okay, plum?
Yes!
Plum is one of them.
Sarsaparilla, you've got correct.
Sarsaparilla, okay.
Let's see how many you can get.
Plum.
Yeah,
there is more.
Okay.
It's got to be like what's in Coca-Cola? What flavour's Coca-Cola? It's like a caramel. No.
Yes.
Caramel.
Caramel, yes. Okay. Yes. Apple?
Oh.
What about grape? Is there a grape in there somewhere?
No.
Ginger.
No.
Oh, yes, ginger.
Ginger.
Hands on fire.
Yep, go on.
Here we go.
Blackberry.
Cola.
Cola, yeah,
it's not flavour, but anyway. Mm. Cola, cherry, licorice, amaretto.
Amaretto?
Brackets, almond, vanilla.
I guess that's what amaretto thinks it is.
Yeah,
Frangipan.
Blackberry, apricot, caramel, pepper, anise, sarsaparilla.
So that's got pepper in it.
Ginger. Ding. Molasses.
Molasses, mm-hmm. yes.
Lemon. Plum. Mm.
Ding.
Plum.
Orange. Nutmeg. Mm. Cardamom, allspice, juniper, birch, and prickly ash.
The old prickly ash.
I was going to say
that's
prickly ash.
That's what it was. That's the back end.
That's the kicker.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Well done, Ads.
That's all right. That's the first thing I've actually managed to Google. That
thank you.
It's come up.
That's actually been interesting.
I've got a really bad Google here.
Terrible.
So your last thing is that you are also being permitted an everlasting dip. Bearing in mind the crisps that you've chosen, they might not necessarily be the best for dipping. I don't think it's a bad selection, to be perfectly honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
What dip would you choose?
I will say,
sometimes people, instead of kind of choosing a dip for all three, they've kind of gone, do you know what? I'm not going to dip with those ones. I'm just going to dip with those. And they choose a dip for one crisp.
That's befitting of that one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, could you choose hummus?
You could.
Mm. I think hummus.
Yeah.
Maybe with a...
You'd go this.
Oh,
I'd go salt and vinegar.
I'd go bacon.
Squares in hummus is
squares in hummus.
It's off the Riggedy Boo Bar.
But I think the bacon sizzler is a general solid dipping crisp.
I think so.
Yeah, it's going to go with anything.
It wants it. It's things. Ridged again.
Yes.
Wants it.
It's going to drink it.
It's going to drink it. It's going to drink it up. You can leave it in there, pull it out, still crunchy.
Still crunchy. Great. It's the ridges.
It's all about that. It's like a corrugated roof. It just wants it.
Just like roofs do.
Just like roofs.
And don't say I'm wrong.
Because I've been up there trying to tar one. So, enough of this.
Right, so what have we got? We've got hummus plate. And now I'm going to say, is this just your standard... You're not adding any flavours to your hummus?
No, I find that absolutely fucking awful.
Oh, I like a red pepper hummus.
No, you don't.
Fuck off.
I like a caramelised...
Has it got pesto on it? Pesto on hummus?
Oh, no. You read that in a magazine.
You idiot.
Oh, get out of my car.
Bunch of idiots.
This is the worst prostitution thing I've ever had in my life. Get out.
So, to round up, Sam, would you like to do the honours?
We've got barbecue... Beef hula hoops.
Yeah.
We got bacon sizzler McCoys. We got salt and vinegar squares. All being dipped into a lovely hummus, unaffected, unadorned by any kind of, but it's got pickle and cheese on top of it. Go fuck your mother. Sorry. It's all being washed down with the 23 flavours of Dr. Pepper.
I see a problem upon the horizon is that all of your choices, Tim, take some eating. They take some biting. They Isn't take some the chewing. No. No.
There's no dentist on the island.
Yeah, so the old Dr. Pepper.
Oh, shit.
You're going to lose those teeth and you're going to regret your shaming of Watsits, your shaming of
Space You're going to wish you'd gone for Raiders.
Yeah, you're going to need to suck some things soon, my friend.
Although I am really hoping that the diabetes gets me before I reach there. That's my plan. The salt levels are off the scale.
We do have insulin on the island, though.
That is
on
true.
A little column with a defibrillator.
Yeah, yeah, it's well, just been left yeah, Ed Gamble's on the island. He has type 1 diabetes. The good type.
Not really.
It's not.
But it's the bad type.
But it's the one where you're like, it's not your fault.
Yeah, true.
And so Tom debated whether he would be allowed to bring insulin onto the island, onto this mythical island. And then we had to quickly say, well, he won't be on the island for very long and he can't have it, Tom.
Hey, well,
I don't make the rules.
Well,
rules.
We found some in the crashed plane.
It was a lifetime supply of insulin.
Yeah, that's nice.
Which is great.
So if you get it, then we'll keep you alive for a bit longer.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
No needles, but you can drink it.
Yeah. Dr. Pepper Zero, not great.
No, not great. No.
Wish it were. Wish that it were.
Mm.
Tim Downey, you have a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
I imagine you do many a voiceover.
I've done a few in my time.
Thank you so much for joining us upon the aisle.
Thank you.
And welcome.
Love you, man.
Take your shoes off. Go for a paddle.
Let's do it.
There's a lot of crisp to get through.
Let's get our shins wet.
Let's do it.
Thanks for listening to Desert Island Crisps. And special thanks to Tim Downey for this episode.
And thanks to Wide Awake for the new slamming theme tune.
And Phil Surtees for the freaky outro music.
Adam Loveday Brown for his production and editing skills.
And Ollie Kilby for the boss artwork.
If you like the show, please spread the word so we can keep on making it. People can find us wherever they get their podcasts from.
On social media, you'll find us using @DesertCrisps on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook.
Thanks again for listening. And remember, we'll be here.
Always.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.